live. I'm welcome everyone back with my Lina Mirmont show. And I will give a little introduction to this show, even though it hardly needs an introduction, because to be more precise, it's a continuation of the most valuable and I would say critically important series of the shows, which we exclusively devoted to the dentistry. And the reason, as all of you know by now, is that we discovered that we were not enough informed about possibilities in the modern dentistry. And we had tremendous privilege and pleasure to learn so much from our very first show from legendary Dr. Rainey. And he was kind enough to suggest to continue on the same note, having an opportunity to speak to some other dentists who are having their own experiences and their own rights and who are continuing to help us to feel more equipped to be helped, not just in the short term, but in the long term. It is my true privilege, pleasure, and honor to introduce and to welcome Dr. William Tuhig for our today's show. We will discuss number of issues. And for now, I wanted to welcome Dr. Tuhig and thank him for finding time for us today. Dr. Tuhig, how are you?
We're doing very well, thank you. I'm here with my office manager, Beth, and she's going to help me out to make sure we stay on track. But we're doing very well. You got to tell me where you want me to go.
Oh, you are so beautifully obedient. And since you mentioned your assistant, Beth, I wanted personally to invite her as well to our interview. And I wanted to thank her because she was an instrument to be connected to you and to arrange this interview. So, Beth, you just as welcome and thank you for your presence.
Well, thank you.
I like, firstly, to tell our listeners where you're locating. And you're going to correct me if my pronunciation will be off. Dr. Tuhig has his practice, has his office in Wisconsin, Weya Wega. This is your ample opportunity to correct me if I mispronounced your town.
It's really close. It's Weya Wega.
You see, I thank you very much, and I was struggling to guess, and my conclusion was that you really have to have enough teeth to pronounce it correctly. And since I'm missing few, I made a mistake, but thank God you recognized this.
Well, so you as, were really close. Most people do make a little bit of a mistake.
Well, no. Thank you. The actual attempt is to let our listeners know about your location and about the fact that this incredible dentistry is available in a different part of the United States. I discovered how little people know and how difficult that is to get a useful, good, and reliable information. Most of the patients in the hands of their dentists, they are quite intimidated, and they're frankly not very much aware what they're missing. So I would get to Dr. Tuhig practice and going through several services which you're providing, I'm going also to mention your credentials, Dr. Tuhik, because there are quite a few there. I would ask from the general question, what made you think and what made you focus on what's so-called alternative dentistry, which frankly I call the main dentistry? What prompted you to choose this philosophy and practice?
Early in the 1980s, I met a Dr. Cook from Searing, Wisconsin, who talked about acupuncture, natural energy testing in use in dentistry, and it intrigued me. So I went out and bought books on acupuncture, and tried to read and understand, and that was before the time that we had good YouTubes or videos or good classes that were available around the country that we could go and take. And I unfortunately have, or fortunately have, a pretty severe case of dyslexia, so if I read a story, it's not going to come out the same the way that you read it. If I type a letter or add numbers together, it just doesn't work. It's spelled wrong, it's added wrong. But I can watch something, listen to something, and I can understand it, and I can, it goes straight forward at that point, and it clicks in my mind and holds. But back then, I couldn't do it, so I had to say, okay, there's no place to go, where should we go? And I learned standard dentistry. My goal was to become one of the best dentists. I had experience in that time. I graduated in 76, so in 5 to 6 years, dentistry wasn't any fun. You could drill, fill, and bill, and people still had problems. They broke teeth, they complained, and I could find something else better to do. And I fortunately had some friends who direct me to an institute in Miami at that time, the Pankey Institute, and I was fortunate to go there. They taught me how to balance my life and figure, or try to balance my life, because I'm never balanced. Beth will attest to that. But you balance your life, you know your patient, you know your work, you know your spiritual side, your business side, your family, your work and your play. And you have to try to balance those in some measure. When I was also there, the doctor, we were learning really good dentistry, also looked at me and said, at that time he was about 85 years old, and I got to sit down and meet the head of the institute and sit for 3 hours and talk. And after 3 hours of questioning and answering questions back and forth, he looked at me and said, you know, Bill, about 80% of what we're going to teach you this week, or what you learn in school, is going to be changed in the next 10, 15, 20 years. Now, I'm way past that in my practice of dentistry, and so there's a lot of basic stuff that's okay there, but it's just the beginning. And most dentists that attended that institute did not hear that, and still won't hear what I was told, that what we taught in school, what we were taught along the way, was a good practicing beginning to go out and learn. But things change. So in my area, I started to go out and learn more about whatever I could. So I learned the best technical dentistry I could do. I'm a constant student because I can only class myself as a practicing beginner. Because if I learn something, there's something more to learn along the way. And so we went from learning dentistry, then you lock over and find out that the teeth are connected to a body, to the organ all over the place, and still we're focused with our glasses as dentistry looking inside of the mouth. Orthodontists may look at the teeth and how they come together, but we need to come back and look at the whole body. And as we go out, and the friends and people I've met over the years have tried to establish a connection with other health professionals to get an understanding where we each can benefit from each other. So I've gone out and learned, gee, if you have a metal toxicity, for example, I take some fillings out of your mouth and I did it. I've learned years ago that I felt that the white filling materials, the composites, were better than amalgam. I didn't know and I wasn't taught that amalgam with all the mercury in it affects the rest of the body. And so when you take those out and you don't do it properly, there's another toxin that you're exposed to. And even when they're in your mouth, there's another toxin that's constantly gassing off mercury into your body. And 80% of the mercury that's released from those toxins goes to your lungs. From your lungs, it goes into your brain and your blood cells, your fat cells. Your body takes toxins and stores it in fatty tissue. And I have problem pronouncing words and keeping everything correctly, so I do it in my own layman's term. So the myelin sheath of the nerves of the brain and some of the brain cells are made of fatty tissue. And mercury, and for example, is stored in fatty tissues. Toxins are put into fatty tissues because our body is trying to hide them from our essential organs. So I ran into the problem. I've taken out mercury fillings, and somebody comes back years later, and, gee, they develop MS, and somebody in another profession would walk over and say, you have heavy metal toxicity. They came back to me, and she went from a active young lady to developing MS to being in a wheelchair to coming back in it. I look at myself and say, gee, did I do that? Hopefully something else happened to work along the way too. Or who else can I possibly be doing anything with? I look at my nephews and nieces and patients of mine along the way who have developed autism, personality problems. They're growly all the time. Ask me. I've been accused of that periodically. And I got on my journey to learn how to help other people and solve some of my problems. So I went from standard dentistry to come back and say, what can I do for other people? And that got me into, we had a little journey. We went down to Madison, Wisconsin. Beth went with me. And we heard a speaker talking on ozone in dentistry. Ozone's a 3-molecule oxygen, four oxygen molecules up in the atmosphere. They're hit by ultraviolet light, and they develop some single O's and some double O's and some oxygen. They have an extra 3 O's, an extra electron on it. And those would fall down in their natural purifiers of our air. So if you hear the ozone alert or the ozone area on our atmosphere, ozone is actually good. It comes down and cleans out the atmosphere. It cleans out our body when we get it in our body and cleans things out. When the government measures the pollution in there, they call it ozone problems because that's what they can measure. They can measure ozone, not the acid molecules that picks up sulfur compounds from the air and makes sulfuric acid, which irritates us. It comes down and it causes problems. So at night we don't have smog. In the day we have smog. Well, that's the ozone picking up the hydrocarbons and the pollution in the air and trying to clear it out. At night, we don't have the light coming down hitting the oxygen, so it doesn't happen. So when we got involved in Madison, with a guy talking about ozone, he said it stops tooth decay. It works on burns. It works on everything. He gave us a salve and looked at us and said, gee, you can put that on, it kills the AIDS virus. If you blow ozone on your on a hand, it kills bacteria, viruses, spores.
Really, any fungus, type of infectious disease.
It will help kill the stuff and get it under control. So I went down and learned it. I bought a machine. And when I went back, the next time he came in, Beth was there also. I went to a different class, and if he had something new to say, she'd go over and he'd get me, and we changed places. But we learned about ozone. Now, I stopped decay in my father for a number of years. I treated his bed sores, which I'm not supposed to do, but he's my dad. I'll do it at his house or at a nursing home. I'll treat it. I will go on there. And so we began a journey about 8-10 years ago on working with ozone. And my goal was to become one of the top speakers on ozone. And as I got to the point where I'm one of those, I really don't care about it anymore exactly. I work with the ozone people, the groups that we have. We started some national ones. We learned how to use it for medicine and dentistry and what benefits it is. But in my practice, we use it all the time.
Right. I think the thing is, the simple statement is that when we discovered ozone and how we could use it, it began the journey. And once the journey began, you can't stop. You can't ignore the truth anymore.
Then when I got on my journey to hear the other speakers from around the world, I hit a couple dentists out in that have a course out in New Jersey on ozone, and they also had a practice, another course on integrated biological
medical dentistry.
Okay, and it became really, really fun because I'm back where I got there, and they said, we give this course. I said, sign me up. I didn't ask how much it was or how many days I was going to be there. I got me back to the day when I first met Dr. Cook and looked over and said, there's something with acupuncture that actually works, and I have a place I can learn this now. And we go out there, and I went out there for a year and a half, every 3 months, and we learned about nutrition. We learned about acupuncture. We learned homeopathy. We learned about a little bit of everything. And it got us to the point that we got our journey really going. And so that's where we are now. I'm out learning everything we can possibly go on. Now, you need to figure out where you want me to go, because otherwise I'll babble forever.
I truly hate to interrupt you. Let me say this. Firstly, thank you for sharing your personal story. I feel that that created the base and human foundation, firstly, for the curiosity, second, for the sensitivity to help other people, and then with your intellectual brilliance, you've been able to combine what you feel and what you know. And for that, I wanted to thank you so much for being so courageous, so intuitive, and contribute just purely invaluable skill and your dedication. I will just add to this that having my own personal experience, which only can be measured as a negative one, I was in this, I call it traveling dental chair, and I only had a curiosity and answered questions and a lot of frustrations and pain. Listening to you, I just wish again, after I was listening to Dr. Rainey, I wish I would meet you that much sooner, along with my son, And I do hope that these programs will prompt people to change their directions drastically as soon as possible. And before I will go to some a little bit more specific questions, I also wanted to thank you for one particularly important concept, which has to do with the big picture as a whole body. And the mouse is a really beginning of life, because if we don't eat, we cannot live. So your panoramic view, how really everything integrated, from nutrition, from acupuncture, from homeopathy, dental care, and of course ozone, makes such a profound logical, physiological sense. And that's the only way to go. I bet there are very, very few traditional dentists who would even ask you about some kind of general physiological questions. Yes, you fill up some formal questionnaire, but this is basically business frame. Listening to you, I felt that every piece of information relates to human body, to the individual dental situation. And it really leads to fantastic hope that makes life totally different. So before jumping to the next question, I wanted to make sure that from all of us, you have our tremendous gratitude. And on that note, I like to go to one of the aspects, which I believe, being perhaps a little presumptuous, but I believe you start your dialogue with a patient, and that is a education. Because reading about you, I see that you do make a point where a patient needs to be educated. And I like to ask you about some hygiene, perhaps certain things which we already know, thanks to our previous programs. We know about soda, we know about Sonicare. You gave just a fantastic confirmation about ozone. How you are approaching, for example, a severity of gum disease? How do you educate the patient about home care and office care?
It's hard sometimes. It is. First, they have to have a willingness to want to be healthier.
Yes.
You have to ask the patient. If you go to the regular hygienist, because I've been in the business long enough, is when you go see a regular hygienist in many areas, they're going to walk over, do you brush and floss, do you every night, do you use this, do you use that, and they're going to beat you over the head with the hardened floss or whatever
routine,
else.
Routine.
And they forget the first area. You got to stop and ask the patient, are you interested? Do you care? Because
yes.
If you don't care enough about it, I'm going to be realistic and say, I can't care more about your teeth than you do.
That's very good. So you are extremely direct, and frankly, there is no other way.
There is no other way. You can walk over and say, here it is, you have gum disease, you have this area, it's going to cost you X number of dollars and procedures to take care of your mouth. Back in the early days, there were 27 magic questions to get somebody to buy what you want in dentistry. And the answer, there are no magic questions, just a white piece of paper, is when you come to our office, why are you here? What is your concerns? What are you worried about? If you're worried about aesthetics, that's what we want to know. If you're worried about health, that's what you want to know. If you want to be beautiful, that's what you want to know. If you just want to be out and fast and you want to have your teeth care, that's what we want to know, because I can look at you and say the lady who wants beautiful gums and teeth and smile will be the highlight of the party. I need to walk over and tell her, you got bleeding gums. You got bad breath. You have this. She'll respond to that. The CEO of the company would look at him and say, if you don't take care of it, then you're going to lose time and you're going to be out of your office and you're not going to make any money. You aren't going to know what you're going to do. The person that's worried about their health, it's easy. Just tell them, you got bugs there. It's going to go through the one cell layer of from your gum tissues into your bloodstream and start circulating.
But, with that said, people are brushing and they are flossing and they are doing everything their hygienist told them to do, and their gums are still bleeding and they still have pus and they still have bad breath and they're still getting cavities and they're still losing teeth. Why is that? That is what we actually address here, is why.
Beth, I'm sorry jumping in. This is such an excellent point you're making, because there is a fair amount of a large group of patients who are very, very aware of this. And I'm so, so glad that you're bringing this up, because this why becomes a source of frustration. I will let you to continue.
If you're in the hygiene chair and you're at home, what are you going to brush with? Look at your toothpaste. What are the toxins in it? Beth is the expert on the toxin in the toothpaste. Does it have fluoride? Fluoride's a toxin. Mercury's a toxin, and arsenic's a toxin. You only have to do a little bit. Then we ask if you have xylitol. Kills bacteria, the oral systemic leak. What are you rinsing with? What are you brushing with? I brush with water, and I've done it for 38 years.
And he doesn't get cavities.
And I don't get cavities.
This is most incredible thing. And you're saying it while you're not sleeping.
This is true. Big deal. There are people who get decayed, so what it is. So if you're, one of my favorite stories is a group called AOSH. AAOSA, so American Academy of Oral Stomach Health, has some of the guys that got involved in this. It's an organization we started a couple of years ago. I'm off somewhere else now more than anything else. But thank you. She's telling me to talk slower. We come back in. How do you take care of it? We've got out and saying, what natural things can you use? So can you use oil of oregano? Can you use what other oil, peppermint oil, anything else to shave, to clean those teeth and kill the bacteria? One of our simplest is xylitol. Now, let Beth tell the xylitol story.
Oh, yeah. Xylitol is amazing. I mean, every time you eat a strawberry, a blueberry, a raspberry, you are ingesting xylitol. So your body already knows what to do with it. It's an enzyme that happens to be sweet that's also a natural antimicrobial. So it's a really simple product to implement. I mean, and it's safe. You can be a diabetic and you can have xylitol. You can let your children have it and they will not have a sugar high.
Can't give it to your dog, though.
Apparently, you're not supposed to let your dogs eat it. We don't really know the whole story on that, but we're not treating dogs. So we're not really going to work a lot on it. But, the thing is, your mouth is, like doctor said before, connected to the rest of your body. If you've still got bleeding gums and you're still got bad breath and you're still getting cavities, but you're doing everything we said, what else is wrong? Is your body talking to us through your teeth? What is happening? Are you pre-diabetic? Are you pre-cancer? Are you pre-heart attack or stroke? We truly believe your mouth is going to talk to us.
You can see it in your mouth. You can see it in your eyes. You can see it in the rest of your body. But the xylitol is very simply your bacteria that causes tooth decay, your streptococcal bacteria. I have a problem pronouncing those words. Eat the xylitol. They can't digest it, and they die off before they have, I use my terms, and everybody can be upset, they have bacteria sex and give off little baby right. bacteria. And so in 90 days, you cut off the bacteria that cause tooth decay. Now, if you have five exposures to xylitol in a day, you'll kill the kill the bacteria that cause tooth decay. So I could go over to the school here and have them brush their teeth once. I could give them a xylitol sucker. I could give them a xylitol taffy. I could give them a xylitol chocolate. And I could have them brush their teeth once more before they leave, or mix a little bag of xylitol sugar in a glass of water and have them rinse all day.
Instead of giving them fluoride, which is toxic to their system, instead of giving them a toothpaste that's got antifreeze and Drano in it, instead of having them rinse with a mouthwash that's full of alcohol,
yes.
We're actually giving them something their system already wants.
So we really need to look for this ingredient.
Sure.
Is that practical to find the toothpaste with that? I know fluoride is, you just confirmed, it's really terrible thing, and we didn't even touch on the fact that chlorine is elevated in the regular water, and it's just a poison to drink regular water at this point. How can we get this xylitol?
You can actually... This day and age, it's become so easy. You know, like Doc was saying before, the day and age of the internet is your godsend right now. You can go online. You can find it simple. You can call our office. I will give you every website that we purchase, and these websites are always going to be ones that I've researched, and I know their product is pure.
If you have a page that you have, we'll send you out a pamphlet that lists them. Dr. John's Candy.
Right. Xylitol USA.
Spry.
Clear Incorporated.
X-Clear.
This is wonderful. I certainly will ask my son.
We can send you, or our website has been down for ages. Really big, but if we can send you a flyer,
you know, actually, I want to. I need to tell you. I need to tell you that your website is not really down. There is a one page is down. However,
right.
I was able to get
us, our contact info is there. Please contact us. I always am happy to help a person, and I don't care where they're from or what their question is. It's not about making them patients. It's about information.
Information.
And how we share it, and we're always happy to do that.
Yes, and I'm so, so glad that you mentioned this, but I have to say that you do have a page, very clear, very workable page, which I was able to use, and I like to put something on our website. Actually, our website just very, very recently was renovated, so we are prepared to put some information there. But anyway, there is a source to get that information, and it's very generous of you to say that anyone who wants to learn can just pick up the phone. Yes, and for that reason, I like to pronounce your telephone number, which is 920-867-3101.
Right.
And whoever will call, please don't hesitate to leave a message. Beth is wonderful. And you always will get the answer. And the distance here is absolutely not an obstacle. I'm from New York, and... as Beth mentioned, truly internet such a fantastic shortcut here. Dr. Tuhik, I wanted to, since we started from gums, because that's the first order, that's a foundation for the teeth and the bones. I learned that you're using a laser treatment for gum disease. Just to give us a overall picture, how involved that is, and who needs it? Can it be used as a prophylactics, or it is used when there is a problem already?
Our gum treatment goes very simply. We use ozone to kill the bacteria in the mouth and around the tissues. If you have a deep, deep pocket, you are cleaned very well, very deeply. And if you don't respond to the ozone or ozone injection, we will use a laser and go and decontaminate the pockets and clean out the, any granulation tissue or any infectious tissue that may be left, and you'll see that the gum tissues disappear. But we tend to use more of the ozone here than the laser at this period of time. But the laser is something that we use when we still have a pocket that we need to address a little bit more, that we can get the ozone down and further. There are many dentists who are using straight lasers to go in and do it, but we're using, like I say, ozone gas in the tissue, into the pockets. We're using ozone injections with cocktails of different medications to shoot around unhealthy tissues, and we're seeing things come back to life. With the laser and with the ozone, we are seeing bone regenerations in many areas. In some areas, you can get it back, but the teeth tighten up, and we're having very, very good success.
I wanted to ask you very naive questions. Are gums growing back?
Well, if you have a pothole, okay?
Yeah.
And you have a layer of, let's go, we're going to put some grass in there. I'm trying to draw a picture for you.
Yes.
You have grass growing down the side, which is your tissue, okay? And
yes.
You have the healthy environment, you have blood vessels, or grass roots coming from the grass to the earth on the side. In the pothole.
Yes.
If you get that environment healthy and the biological terrain is the term that we use, is getting all the healthy organic and natural stuff into the dirt or tissues of our body to allow our body to heal itself. And at that point, that bone will start regenerating in many instances if the bite is right and everything else is cleaned up. And you'll actually grow a little bone. Your tissue will not grow up to the top. If you don't have a post exposed by 3 feet, you aren't going to grow tissues up that high. It's only going to grow as high as a bone in a couple areas that are above it. But if you get a little bone to grow there, super. And it depends if you have a hole in the ground with three walls or if it's a flat one that's on it, it's only going to grow up to the top of the crest that you can get there. So it can fill itself in by healthiness. If you get a cut, the tissue heals from the outside over and then from the bottom up. And that's the same way our body is. We just got to give it the nutrition to get rid of the toxins on our body. Get the natural stuff back into where it belongs so the body can heal itself. Give it the food that it needs. And that's what we're looking like in dentistry. What kind of food does it need? You need some supplements, many, many people. You got to eat right. If you're going to eat at McDonald's every day, or let's make up a nerd because I can't put down McDonald's, but if I'm going to fast food every day and eating what we're getting there, I'm not going to get healthy.
I thought that
aren't going to grow, but if I give you the nutrition and the minerals and the health that you have, your body's going to get healthy. And there are nutritionists and chiropractors, doctors, naturopaths that know much, much more than me. I'm just on my way to learn more and more all the time.
You gave us
body an opportunity to respond and let the good bacteria come back into play and do their job.
And you just caught my thought on that, but I just wanted to mention, Dr. Duhigg, you gave us plenty of knowledge compared to, let's say, chiropractor and all other. You branched out in a such a comprehensive way, and it is actually for us patients and listeners is much more interesting and I should say more effective to learn because you reestablishing the fact that dentistry is about the total health. Mm-hmm. I just will go a little bit off the subject, and I would say that in our extremely turbulent times with so much unknown, especially in healthcare, everyone has no choice but start to learn, start to be, needless to say, responsible, but to do everything and beyond to find the answers. And you are giving us these answers. And the cost of healthcare, just logically, would be so much reduced if a general public will go with some minimum preventive care. If general public will just do what you just mentioned with a fast food, which cuts long term of health, and that is leading to my next question about tooth preservation. We understood about the gums, and now we need to talk about teeth. I like to divide my question, sort of speak, on two parts. One for people who still have a lot of teeth of their own, and the other one, less fortunate, who need to be faced with denture, partial denture, and then implants. So let's talk about the lucky people who still have a fair amount of their own teeth. What is your recommendation about general checkup? What is your preference for restoration, your philosophy of a root canal? I know I'm piling up a lot of issues in this question. Whatever you comfortable to answer, we would appreciate to have your input.
Okay, I'm going to go through, we addressed teeth and people who have little teeth that could use partial dentures or people that need dentures. There are three things that cause problems in the mouth, and it's decay from bacteria, it's a bacterial infection. It's periodontal disease or gum disease, which is a bacterial infection. And it's the bite or weighted teeth that come together and cause trauma to your mouth or not. If you have a fence post and you bang into the fence post and you start pushing it, that the fence post loosens up and you got the holes going around the side. We live in farm country, so we understand that. For city people, I don't know what you do, but you get the bacteria going around the side. Causes a problem. So what do we suggest? It's very simple. Your body has to be aligned right, and your bite has to be good, because if your bite is good, your whole spinal sequence is going to level off. Your osteopathic doctors understand that. They work at the spine. Your chiropractors understand the spine, and they get everything lined up. And if your bite lines up, they'll line up better. Your legs will line up if you get people straight. That comes down to a craniosacral, or the way the bite moves and the head moves and everything aligns. We look at people for, what do we do for recommendation? Everybody has its own recommendation in my office. We start them off where they can look at it twice a year. We bring you in. You want to come into my office? You don't go see the hygienist first. You come and see us first, we take a look at it. What do you need? My hygienist comes into the exam room and tells me what she needs to get your gum healthy. Then the ladies that I work for come in and talk and arrange a treatment plan for you for that part. Get the gum tissues healthy. Then we look at your teeth. At your gum tissues, pardon me, we'll go there. And if you take good care of your teeth and you follow it, you only need...
Hopefully you only have to see us twice a year. Yeah.
Sometimes once a year. Some people are one every 2 years. Some people are 3 months. Some people should come to see me every day or see the hygienist every day because they don't take care of their teeth. And we end up parting ways with most of those. There's a minimal, you know, area that you have, x-rays. What is your proning to it? We like to take them once every year, maybe, and bigger ones down where you see the roots more often, once every 3 to 5 years. I had two people in the last month who we took the x-ray, one that we took an x-ray on the front tooth and found the root dissolving halfway down the root. I had one in yesterday that we took regular x-rays a year ago and took an x-ray of just the tops of the teeth 3 months ago, and it didn't show he had the same thing going on. It didn't show 2 years ago, but he's losing a tooth. So we look at it. We need to take x-rays when it's needed for that person and take a chance at it. But we want to be minimizing your exposure to x-rays. As you need them, your risks are there. Little kids, we don't need them as often. You changed me here, and I got you an assessment. For filling-wise, mercury fillings are gone. They shouldn't be in there. What is biocompatible for you? If you have an immune system, when I was in school, they had A, B, C's, and D's, and F's. And, yes, I did get a D, and I did get an F in grade school. I don't write very well. You can't read my penmanship. And with dyslexia, I don't read very well. So if you come back in and your immune system's an A or B or a C, the good guys are beating the bad guys. If you are developing cancer or developing diabetes, you've got a D or an F immune system. You can't have that extra toxins in your body, so you need to find something biocompatible for you. There are groups such as the IAOMT, the International Academy of Oral
Medicine and
Toxicology. She's going to make sure I say it right. that will address those areas, show you a video on it. Their email or their website is www.iaomt.org.
Could you repeat this kindly again?
IAOMT.org.
Okay.
O-R-G.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
And they will go through areas that go and help that area. There's the Holistic Dental Association. If you type in that, the American Academy of Oral Ozone Therapists is medical practitioners, dental practitioners that work with ozone. So we, getting back to the fillings here because I'm babbling again, is we believe in doing minimal invasive dentistry. Dr. Rainey, who you had the privilege to meet, and I had a real privilege to seek him out when I found out who he was and spent time to really try to get in the right place at the right time to meet him and to get invited down to be work with him, changed my whole philosophy on what the anatomy of a tooth is, well, what the enamel is, how it's formed and why it's formed. Totally different than I was taught in school. Or my son, who has only been out 6 years, was taught in school. And we use air abrasion. We only take away anything that causes problems. If you get in early, you can stop it ahead of time. On children, we're going to ozonate the teeth. Air abrasion, just polish the grooves out, ozonate, and put a slight filling material. That I do have one product at my office that has a little bit of fluoride in it. My goal is not to be anti-anything. My goal is to limit your exposures to toxins. It doesn't mean I can get rid of them all. Sometimes I have to use something minor to come back through until they get me something better.
And
if we've had success, as Dr. Rainey will tell you.
The only reason I'm jumping in, because you made that link, which indeed Dr. Rainey did talk about. He made a wonderful foundation for my interview with you. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I'm jumping in is because of time. And I just want to sneak as many relevant issues as I can. And I like to I like to give you an opportunity to finish what you've been saying now, making a bridge to actually to bridges to dentures and partial denture, to leave another, in other words, to leave enough time for people who are missing the teeth.
So we ask root canals. Root canals are, if you can handle them, you're okay, and use ozone with the possibility. Many, many people that need to come up. Dentures, partial dentures. Save the teeth that you can that are healthy. If they're unhealthy, save the bone. The bone is more important for me to build a denture on, or a partial denture. It's important to get the face height right in your area. If you go to Strickland Facelift Dentures.com. It's a technique of doing dentures that develops the face from going from Popeye's grandmother or grandfather, whose lower lip went above his head in the old cartoons, to a facelift that's natural. We see somebody's face improve every day. My website for facelift dentures is Facelift Dentures of Wisconsin, of facelift dentures wi.com. It shows you what goes on. It shows you how you can build a denture that's comfortable and correct. I stopped doing dentures early, and Dr. Pankey taught me got me going back. I've learned from the best. This is one of the best techniques that's grandfathered. I use with other techniques that I have to make dentures fit well. If I can save partial dentures, save teeth, a partial denture needs to fit well and needs to fit in the space between the lips and the tongue. There's a neutral zone there that the lips push in, the tongue pushes out, and that's where the teeth belong. If we don't put them there, and that's what I see most people that have dentures that don't work come in, we're reshaping the dentures, we're grinding the dentures, we're moving the denture teeth, and getting things to fit well. But if they're fit well, they can be, and your face is correct, they're comfortable and they sit where they are, if we have enough bone.
And we're not just giving them teeth, understand. We're not just giving them white and pink plastic, okay? We're giving them the opportunity to actually get their nutrition, to live a life that they are comfortable living in. You know, there's an emotional, there's a physical, and there's a health issue that are involved when it comes to dentures and partials.
Right, and I just wanted to also make sure that we all clear that if bone loss unfortunately taking place, then the bone graft comes in if it is no choice. Am I thinking right?
Bone grafting, and I have to clarify where I'm at this period of time. I've done bone grafting, I've done implants, I've do ozone, and as I look at the holistic area of dentistry, there's a right-wing holistic, the guy at the grandfathers do not want to have bone grafts in. They don't want to have implant space in because they interfere with the electrical circuitry of the body, the meridians of the body. If you take a tooth out, do you have an infection or a bony infection called a cavitation that sits down? You have to clear the bacteria that's in your bones sometime also.
Yes.
If I'm taking a tooth out at this period of time, and where I should be in the dentistry at this very time, I take the tooth out, I make sure I get all the ligament and an infection, the periodontal ligament or the tissues that hold that tooth to the bone out. I get all the infection out of that, all the dead tooth bone out. We clean it up with ozone, we clean it that area. The next step in future dentistry is, right at this time, it's present, is taking plasma-rich cells and packing the socket with that to get a better clot and better bone graft growing in there naturally from you. There is some feeling that bone grafts can give a problem. I have seen them done all the time. I've done have many, many done on my patients, and we have very, very little problems on 90% of the people. But there are 10% of the people that don't respond, and those are people who have immune problems or issues that may become an area that show up later on. We cannot do everything on everybody. So every person has their own body terrain that we have to try to work with and make it accepted.
Dr. Tuhik, we have to make a little cadenza to our conversation. I'm so, so glad that we managed to cover the situation with the bone. And I just wanted to thank you so, so much. We went a little bit over time, but it was so unnoticeably quick. Thank you profoundly to my guest, Dr. William Tuhik, his very, very special assistant, Beth. And we certainly will be in touch, and with all my best wishes to you, to your office, to your patients, I will say until soon. And graduating with words to my listeners, thank you for listening. And again, we've been witnessing very valuable information which came from the first great, talented, outstanding dentist, Dr. William Tuhik. And with all of this, that was Lena Live. I'm Lena Miramont, your host. Until a couple of weeks. Thank you.